On the program today, Susie Gonzalez. Good morning.
Good morning.
She's the director of our community justice program at Lincoln County. That includes adult parole and probation and juvenile services. We're going to have a great conversation with her today. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Susie, perhaps we can begin with an overview of community justice. I think things have changed in the last few years. Many may just identify parole and probation, but really we're kind of an umbrella now. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
A little over a year and a half ago, the Board of Commissioners in the county decided to combine the two departments, which is actually kind of a common theme that's happening throughout the state of Oregon. And by combining the two departments, I'm talking about the Adult Parole and Probation Division along with the Juvenile Department. And so when they did that, I was, prior to that combined situation, I was the Adult Parole and Probation Director. And so now I do both.
And it's kind of a logical fit, really.
It
don't
is.
You think?
It is.
What makes it that way?
Well, we work with people who are involved in the criminal justice process. And when you're working with juveniles, of course, they just come to you at a younger age. And often we are able to provide some services to keep them out of the actual system by educational programming or just a variety of measures that we look at and take with the juveniles to prevent them from actually becoming involved in the criminal lifestyle and be going on in convictions and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's a deterrent type program, and that's what we focus on with the kids. We also do have detention services and a shelter, which is kind of a luxury. Not very many counties have that in the in the state, and we are able to offer that in this community, which is a very well-utilized and great program. So,
well, you know, today we've kind of discussed that we'll focus on the adult parole and probation because there's just so much to cover. We'll kind of drill into that, but it'd be great to have you on again to talk about the juvenile services. Susie, parole and probation, I've heard you say this before, that you have agents of change.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about how we should perceive an individual that goes on probation? I've heard you say it before as sort of like a pardon. What happens to individuals? There's a couple options. I mean, if they could go to a detention center or not, and how does that come about?
Well, let me start with saying that we do both. We supervise in the adult division. We supervise both adult probationers and those on parole or post-prison supervision. And explaining the difference between the two, probation is out of the court system. So a person is, an offender is convicted of a felony. In our case, when, those are the ones that we supervise. A person is convicted out of court, and instead of going to jail or prison, they are allowed to live within the community with supervision conditions that they have to adhere by. And the probation officer involved monitors those conditions and makes sure that the individual is living within the conditions given by the court. Parole, on the other hand, or post-prison supervision, is after a prison sentence, sometimes a lengthy jail sentence, and when they are let out, it's usually considered an early release, and they, too, are given a set of conditions by the parole board in this case or the local supervisory authority. So
probation individuals are those that have been in the most trouble.
That's right. The ones that we supervise in our county as well as statewide, we focus on only felony. That's what we're funded to do, is to supervise on felons who have been convicted of felony crimes, and primarily those that we consider high or medium risk of reoffending. So our resources are basically driven in that direction. So we offer a whole bunch of things. You talked about agents of change.
Yeah.
We are actually one of the branches of law enforcement. So, you know, that's our biggest goal and focus is community safety, public safety. And the way we do it is by monitoring the individuals that we know are convicted felons and supervising their conditions. We arrest a lot of people, more than all of the other agencies in the county put together per year, because we are working every day with those people that we know get involved in criminal activity. Our whole focus is to motivate that person and monitor that person and encourage that person, the offender, to live a criminal-free lifestyle. And we do it in a variety of ways. We can do anything. We have what we call sanctioning authority, so we don't have to put everybody back through court system if they have a technical violation, which means that one of the conditions of their parole or probation supervision is broken, then we actually can sanction them ourselves. So we can either put them in jail, we can put them on work crew. There are some cognitive thinking change behavior classes that we offer. And so there are a whole bunch of different angles that we work with. So,
you know, you allowed me to go on a ride along with two of your officers. And my impression was there was this interesting combination in their dialogue when we went to, and we were visiting probation.
Mm-hmm.
Now I realize I'm thank you for separating the difference in definition. And they're really looking for specific things at the same time using what I would say is encouraging language, mm-hmm. motivational language. And it appeared to me that the level of training that your individuals have is something special.
Mm-hmm.
Are the requirements different for your average probation officer compared to the average law enforcement? It's just a different angle.
Well, it is. And, you know, the reason for that is, first of all, speaking educationally, we do require the probation officers to have a bachelor's degree or experience and, you know, the combination of experience and a lesser education. So I believe that the actual hiring criteria is a little bit different and perhaps a little bit more rigid than it would be with some law enforcement positions. Having said that, what we are trained to do is to work in with people to encourage change, because that's what it's all about. We are trying to keep these people out of the system, keep the public safe from whatever criminal behaviors they may become involved in or have been involved in. And so that's what it is about. We strongly believe that people can change or we wouldn't be in the business. And, you know, that's what we focus on, is changing behavior.
And it's serious business sometimes, too.
Sometimes it is.
And I would like to talk about that when we come back with you. We're talking to Susie Gonzalez. She's the department head of community justice. And we'll be back in just a moment on Lincoln County Connections. Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. Susie Gonzalez on the program with us today. We're talking about community justice. We're specifically drilling into the adult parole and probation division. And Susie, before we took the break, we were covering the variety of situations your officers come into. One of those aspects, as you had said, was encouraging behavior modification, encouraging looking to positive future to make a change towards the better. And yet sometimes your team has to make arrests.
Mm-hmm.
That's just part of the drill.
That's true. And like I said, we do attempt a variety of options for people, but there are consequences to every behavior. And that's one of the things that we attempt to instill in them, is if they want to do what they're supposed to be doing, live within the law, live within their conditions, then they're going to have a positive consequence. If they don't, depending on what it is they have done. We can either help them verbally. We can sanction them to a work day, a day in on our work crew or two or whatever. Or they may have to be physically arrested and taken into jail. And unfortunately, we do an awful lot of arrests, like I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. by far more than all of the other law enforcement agencies in this county put together. Again, the population that we work with and the additional restrictions makes it more likely that we would be making arrests as opposed to a regular citizen with a police officer, you know, on their daily route or whatever. So we are in that situation, and we are working with people who are known criminals. So we do a lot of arrests.
When we think about the fabric of the community, there are individuals on parole and probation within the community. You might have a sense that they were in your neighborhood or not. What are we looking at when we think about population ratios, especially in terms of what your team manages?
Well, right now we are managing about 430 to 440 high and medium risk, primarily offenders, in our felony offenders in our county. Having said that, we do have officers in the field every day, including some weekend days. And, you know, that's what they do. They are out. They're monitoring the people, the folks that are under their supervision, making sure that they're staying compliant and keeping the community safe. The one thing that I often encourage just anybody that I have an opportunity to is to think in terms of safeguarding their own personal protection. People are usually our property. People are usually shocked to hear that they have a felon that lives near them.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is most people have a felon or two or three that live near them. So, and I want to say that most of the time you're never going to have a problem.
Right.
You know, with living near an offender. Offender is a person who's made some mistakes. And hopefully they're trying to change that. And so my suggestions are twofold. First of all, just safeguard. Take measures. Take precautions. Because you never know who it is that really is on supervision or some that aren't on supervision, and perhaps those are even more scary. So everybody should just be careful because they are in our community, and some of them unfortunately aren't, you know, accepting the changes and the options that we're giving them. So don't be shocked. Just take precautions. And certainly if you have any questions as to if someone is on parole or probation supervision, we can answer that for you.
Yeah, and that's great that, you know, your department is open to flagging those calls. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could offer just a few tips of advice because, you know, those emails that come generally to the webmaster, mm-hmm. Their first stop is my email box. And then I redirect them out to the departments as necessary. And it seems like every so frequently someone has identified mm-hmm. someone who's on parole and probation, maybe even in a different community completely, and they want to provide that information to you, or it could be somebody on the most wanted list provide that information to you. Do they call the office? Should they engage somebody? I mean, what's the best path to take if you're concerned?
Don't engage people. I would never encourage that necessarily. Call our office if you have any questions. If an individual is under supervision, we will provide whatever we can to you. If the person is not under supervision, we can answer that very quickly. And perhaps you can rest assured that they're not on supervision. The other piece, though, is if they are on supervision, there are certain precautions on certain individuals that we can suggest that
okay.
you take. So
you can give some advice. And
sure.
Of course, you don't want to be going neener, neener, neener.
No.
I mean, you know, just protect yourself in terms of, you know, maybe staying low key. Don't engage. Let the authorities engage.
Yes, and I also want to make sure that this is clear, and that is if you witness a crime itself, call the police. Do not call probation and parole, because we would only have to call the police for you. So it's a lot more direct if you call the police if you witness a crime. That's a different thing than whether you're inquiring if someone's under supervision.
You've got quite a skilled staff. Just how many people do you have over there in your departments under adult parole and probation? Who's working over there?
Well, right now we have 7 certified parole and probation officers. That counts me and the supervising probation officer. We are losing 1.5 positions. So
some state cuts are coming.
As a result of the state dollars shrinking, because my office, the adult division, is 100% state funded. It's directly related to that. The state funding has shrunk as a overall throughout the state as a result of less offenders. At one time, we supervised here in this county over 600 offenders on an average for many years that I was here. And just the last couple of years, that has shrunk, and we now are supervising between 430 and 440 adult felony offenders. So
those state budgets, it seems to be uncertain where things are going to get cut here and there. Any rhyme or reason why you see this happening in particular?
Well, overall, the crime rate is down in certain categories, and those are the categories that we supervise. So the higher risk offender, the more dangerous crimes, are the crime categories that we're seeing less and less offenders, which is good news. On the other hand, having said that, they require, the ones that we do supervise require a lot more attention because they are at much higher risk of offending. So, but as a result of the overall decrease in numbers, the state budget is directly, that funds us are supervising them, is directly tied to the number of offenders we're supervising. So when there are less offenders to supervise, the dollar amount shrink. And that's resulting this year in 1.5 probation officer positions being cut out of our department.
Okay. Well, Susie, thanks for coming on the program. I suppose it's just a last thought here in a couple of minutes that we have left. Any final thoughts you want the public to know?
Just that we are here, and if you have any questions, please feel free to give our office a call, and one, if not all of us, will be able to answer some of the questions, at least specifically surrounding parole and probation and our clients and the conditions that are attached to them, if in fact we can tell you we're going to. So there are some things that are not public information that we won't be able to tell you.
So can't tell everything. And the website is really a great source of information. I know we've got to make some changes there and restructure some things, but generally there's a lot of these details.
There is information, and all the numbers that you would need to call if you chose to, you should be able to find on the website as well. So.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So that was Susie Gonzalez. She's the department head of our community justice program at Lincoln County. Once again, that does include adult parole and probation and juvenile services. A shout out to Mike Hart of Juvenile Services, who's the assistant director and does a wonderful job. So remember, more information about community justice, you can go to the Lincoln County website. And right now you'll find this information kind of divided into two categories, which is juvenile department and parole and probation. But look in the future for that to be one category, which is called community justice. So we'll get to work on that. And all the contact information is there for this department. So looking to the future. Next week on the program, we're going to have another great program for you. I encourage you to listen in And that will be at 8:30 a.m., same time, same place, as part of this Lifestyle of the Organs programming. And we encourage you to listen to all the great programs here brought to you by KCUP. We thanks for this opportunity to them, and we'll see you next week.